Haggai, or Haggai. Small book in the Bible. If you ever want to impress people with how many books you've read, and you read Haggai and Jude, that's about three total pages, and you can say you read two books out of 66. Most people, because of its size, don't really want to mess with it, but it is chocked full of a bunch of things in here, both historically as well as doctrinally, as well as some things that are here that have to do with even prophetically, but we can use these things practically. Do my best to make a practical application out of a passage for something I think that generally everybody here struggles with. I don't know of anybody that doesn't struggle with what I'm going to preach to you about. And it is something that if you're going to be saved for any amount of time, and you kids are going to get this in a couple of weeks at camp or some of it, not out of the same book, but it is something that if you're going to be successful in life, but especially in the Christian life, that you have to learn to establish this practice, or you're going to constantly be fighting battles over and over and over and over and over again that might not be necessary for you to fight if you learn a fundamental principle. And I'm going to show you that laid out here in the passage in just a moment, but I'd like to put this thought in the back of your mind as we take the passage. And I do understand we're starting a little late. I'll do my best to move as quickly as I can without doing a disservice to the passage. But I want you to see a couple of things here that have to do with this simple thought, priorities. The most difficult thing to do is to put the Lord first, the way he tells us in Matthew, says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. And then constantly after you're saved, it's always somebody trying to knock him off the throne and trying to get something to take its place and something to take its place and something to take its place. As a matter of fact, oftentimes, we don't have to ask the Lord to show us anything when it comes to what we want to do, but we want Him to show us everything when it comes to what He wants us to do. In other words, Lord, I need to get busy for the Lord, but I'm going to wait until He tells me something. But you don't wait to do whatever it is or your carnal desires are. But it's like, well, when it comes to the Lord, I don't want to take, I want to take my time. I want to go slow. I'll wait until I get old. Trust me if I tell you, if you don't have your priorities right now, when you get old, you will not change. It'll be the same thing. You'll still be waiting for God to show you something. You'll still be saying, or you'll use what a lot of older people do. Well, I've been in church all my life. Okay, have you done anything? Or are you just sort of stuck? You say, why? Because there's a constant battle after you're saved for who's going to be the king, who's going to be on top, and what your priorities are. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 1, just a few verses and allow you to be seated. The Bible says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now, I'm not going to give you a message on the building program and all that stuff. I'm talking about you're His temple, and there's things that you need to do to build yourself up as far as your relationship. You never know how strong your relationship with the Lord is until the Lord does something you don't like. And then you see how you respond to it. And then all of a sudden you realize you're one of those fair weather type of Christians that as long as God does it the way you want it, then you'll go along with it. Verse number 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you, O ye dwell in the land, in your seal, I'm sorry, dwell in your sealed houses, this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink and are not filled with drink. You clothe, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord? Because of mine house that is waste, and run every man unto his own way. Father, we'd ask now that you might help us as we go through this passage. We'd ask through the power of the Holy Spirit to pick it apart and make a practical application. that the folks that are gathered here might not just learn some things about a historical reference, but that might see something that was important enough to you to put it in the Bible to teach us some things about our own personal temple, the things that we're building individually. We'd ask God that you might help us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Priorities is a sort of a difficult thing. The devil knows that because he is doing his best to try to get your idea of what success is, what even modern-day Christian success is. And the context sort of the passage is that now everything has fallen apart and the temple of the Lord has gone into disrepair. The temple of the Lord has been built. Ezra has come along. The walls have been put back up and they're getting ready to build the houses, and all of a sudden it is in disrepair again. In the year of King Hezekiah, they wound up having a great revival, and the first thing they had to do was realize the doors of the temple had been shut and things had gotten dirty and things had gotten dusty and things were not where they needed to be. And he said, we need to open it up, let the light back in, and we need to remove some of the things that had gotten in there. In the days of Nehemiah, they let Tobiah come in there and camp out. He started just coming in through the gate, and then he started doing some things on the day they were supposed to set apart for the Lord, and then he started trading merchandise that wasn't supposed to be in there. And before long, he just wanted to kind of stay there, and they didn't have a place to stay. So he came into the temple to stay for a while. And then eventually they took all of the stuff out of the inner sanctum and moved Tobiah in there. And when Nehemiah came, he said, hey, there's some things got to go for the Lord to come back in. In the Christian life, that's repeatedly historically with the nation of Israel. In the Christian life, I would like to say that now that you're saved, that you never have to worry about anything else. But I hate to tell you, it requires some effort on your part. If you don't do something to maintain your relationship with the Lord, you will still be saved. But if you don't continually work at that relationship, not to get saved, not to stay saved, but to stay in fellowship, trust me when I tell you, little things will start creeping their way in. And one of the things that creep in and of itself, does not appear to be, does not seem to be anything that in and of itself is wrong. As a matter of fact, most people would look at this and say, well, I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, I got to get a job, and I got to have a family, and I got to take care of them, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I got to get that. And I mean, I still got a little Jesus. You know, I mean, I still go to church. I still got a little Jesus. He's not the top of priority, but I mean, you know, I mean, I still I don't want to go to hell when I die, and I want the Lord to, touch me every now and then and use me every now and then. And the Lord says, hey, now's the time. You know what they say? No, now's not a good time. You know, Lord, if you'd have called me right after I got saved, I'd have been ready to go, because I didn't have. But now I got a career, I got a husband, I got a wife, I got kids, I got college, I got school, I got what I want to do. And the Lord's like, but now's the time. I'm ready for you to do something now. Well, Lord, you know, now's just not a good time for me. And the Lord said, really? This is practically what he's saying. You don't have time for me, but you have time for what you want to make time for. For instance, you have a house that's not in disrepair to take care of all your needs, so much so it's called a sealed house, meaning on the inside it's very well crafted and has all the molding in it and looks beautiful and so on and so forth. And the Lord's like, what I'm doing is looking at what you're doing. We're making a comparison here, a contrast. He's saying, what I'm doing is looking at your house. If imagine a house in your mind that's got every modern convenience and everything that's updated and everything is in it that you ever would, could ever want in it, and you go out and work to make money to put more stuff in your house. And then the Lord said, then I come to my house. And it's been a while since you've done anything to my house. And so much of this is going on that all of a sudden, in order for you to not only obtain but to maintain that, it's requiring a lot of time and effort on your part. And so guess what? Something has to suffer in the meantime. In other words, somewhere there has to be, there's not enough hours in the day for you to be able to do both and do them well. And he said, just from my position, just from me looking down, my observational standpoint is saying this. It appears you do have time, just not for me. It appears that you do are making an effort. You're not lazy. It's just that those things that are for you, those images, those idols, those things that you want to get a hold of that are connected to you in whatever way, you do have time to do that. And I'm kind of realizing by looking at what you're doing, by the power of observation, I'm realizing where you're putting your time, where you're putting your efforts, but more importantly, what means the most to you. You're dwelling in sealed houses and mine is falling down. You're going out to work, but it's never enough work. You're going out to make money, but you never seem to have enough money. You're going out to eat, but you never get full. You're going out to drink, but you never get enough to drink. It's like you have some sort of an insatiable desire to please something that you never seem to get enough of. This is going on in the Old Testament. It sounds a lot like for us today. In my opinion, I think it's very apropos. I think it's very practical. I think it's very up to date to go all the way back to the book of Haggai and take a look at that and say, wow, if the Lord were to observe my life today, would He say the same thing about me? You said you don't have time for me, but boy, you sure do have time for... And I could make an endless list. I did write down a few things here. I want to kind of pick this passage apart and maybe give you a little bit of an instruction along the way. But I would like to say this. The Apostle Paul said this. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Isn't it interesting that we will apply the doctrine, I would call it a doctrine because it becomes an absolute, a doctrine of desire. Of what's the word I'm looking for? It starts with an A. I'm looking for the word that talks about not an agenda, not aggressive. It'll come in a second. Trying to obtain things. Come on, somebody help me. Ambition. That's the word I'm looking for. You know what we say when it comes to ambition? When it comes to a sports, ambition's a good thing because you want to be as good as you can be. When it comes to academics, you should be ambitious. You should want to be at the top of the class. When it comes to work or something along those lines, we should want to be at the top. Ambition's good. Ambition to get a house. Ambition to get a car. Ambition. But then where's the spiritual ambition? I'm not talking about frustrated ambition looking for a position. I'm talking about an ambition that says, I want to know more about the Bible. I want to get closer to Jesus Christ. I want Jesus Christ to point out things in my life that are not pleasing to Him. That up until now, He hasn't said anything, but now He chose to address me to try to help me. Where is it that that spiritual ambition goes when all of a sudden we get what I call comfortable, the frog in the boiling water, and what we say is you know, I'm kind of good where I'm at. A little bit of church, a little bit of Jesus. Don't be asking me to read it every day. Certainly do not expect me to live it every day. Don't expect me to live it in every post and every email. Don't expect me to live it in every conversation. Don't expect me to live it in every business decision. I'm not saying you have to say Jesus every time you turn around, but there should be something that's there that indicates there's something more important in my life than just what's going on right now, and that thing is Jesus. You just heard the song the girls sang over here, Be Thou My Vision, and keeping Him first and foremost. Isn't that one of the most difficult things you have to do? I mean, while we appreciate His salvation, do you know how it feels? And thank the Lord for that. And man, that just touched my heart listening to them sing those songs. The music was absolutely outstanding. But can I ask you a question? Could somebody look at you? Let's say the Lord. That's a good one to make a judge because He's pretty much the same with everybody. If the Lord could look at your life and determine your priorities by how you live, what would He see? Would He see us saying to Him, hey, now's not a good time? I mean, and the Lord said, really? Well, when is a good time? That's why when it comes to salvation, the Lord says clearly to you, He says, now is the accepted time and now is the day. You say, why? Because we procrastinate, spiritual procrastinators. The Lord points out something, says, now's a good time to take care of that. Well, Lord, I know, but they do it too. So it's not a good time for you right now. No, I mean, my hind end's not in a jam right now. I'm not really jammed up too bad. I'm not looking for you to answer me a prayer over here. I'm not that desperate. Now, you put that one back, and when I get really desperate, I'm willing to jettison anything and everything to get an answer to my prayer. But right now, I'm pretty good. I got the job that I want. I got the thing I want. I'm actually pretty well. So question for you. Do you mind earthly things more than spiritual things? Earthly things that are physical things more than you do things from an eternal standpoint. Spiritually contextual things are earthly contextual things. All those are is just, I will look at our life and go, you know what? Now here's what some of you are already doing and we're only 5 minutes into the message. Well, preacher, nobody has this down pat. And everybody can always improve. I have never met somebody that is successful, whether it be in business or whether it be as an athlete or anything else, that has always said, well, I'm just going to do what everybody else does and hope I make the team. Anybody that excels in what they do has always been willing to do more than everybody else. The guys I trained with, the reason that they got to the level they got to and had the ability they did was because they didn't just go in there for 15 minutes and break a sweat and then they go grab a shower and, you know, go out and, you know, look like they've done something or whatever. The guys that are in there when nobody else wanted to be there, when they're tired, when they're hungry, when they got off the midnight shift, when they didn't do without sleep, and they watch their calories, they watch what they say, why? Because they're looking to do a little bit more. But when it comes to you spiritually, are you willing to do a little bit more? It's called spiritual ambition. There's a couple of things that we see here in this passage right here that I think are very, very telling. Notice, first of all, that he says right there in the passage, he says, listen, everything that you're doing right now is leading to absolutely nothing. We have conflicts that are going on before they even get started, and their biggest conflict is a scheduling conflict. Now's not a good time for us to be building the house of the Lord. I mean, the Lord's like, well, I told you it'd be a good time. Why don't you do that? Well, because I'm busy with my own stuff. You remember the rich man over there in the book of Luke? The rich man comes along and he says to the individuals there, he says, you know something? He said, I'm going to build bigger barns. You ever read the verse just above that? That's an individual that's overcome with covetousness. He wanted more. Enough was never enough. Listen, this has nothing to do with how much stuff you have. It's the price you have to pay to get the stuff. I'm not talking about in a dollar amount. I'm talking about in time that you take away from the Lord. A great balance on your life would be, do I have to sacrifice doing what to obtain what I want to obtain? If you do, you might want to consider. Maybe it's going to cost you more than you want to pay. Has nothing to do with whether you've got $10 million in the bank and you've got plenty of time to be able to do it. But obtaining that $10 million, does it cause you to miss your Bible reading? Cause you to miss your prayer? Cause you to have to run with the wrong crowd? Cause you to have to compromise your beliefs? Cause you to have to start doing certain things, shake with a certain crowd? Sort of has a tendency to sequester or squelch your ability to talk with people. Can't really talk about Jesus freely anymore because, you know, if you do that, then the business people you're doing deals with, they're going to kind of know. And then all of a sudden, got plenty of money coming in. That's great. It's wonderful. It's outstanding. But are we having to miss church?
Yeah, that's good.
You know, look, it's one thing to miss church when you got to pay bills. You have responsibilities and things. It's entirely different when you've already got enough to pay the bills. It's kind of like, I'd like to have a little bit more, but it's just going to cost me Sunday. I know some people here in this church and some places where I go to preach, and one of the things they do is they say, hey, some people just took off for an entire week of camp. Some of them have been looking for a job. Now, this is going to blow your mind, and some of you are going to disagree with what I'm about to say. You do with your kids whatever you want to. But there was a couple of kids there that said, yeah, we had a job offer and we were going to be able to get a job, a full-time position, but they wanted me to work this week, and I told them I can't. I got to work next week because I'm going to camp. And they said, but we got to go to camp and we can't do it. And they said, well, I'm sorry. If you want the job, you got to come to work now. You know what they said? Well, then we'll have to look somewhere else, or the job will be available when I get back. And they came to camp. Now, that may not be a big deal to you, but the Lord's up there going, wow. That's pretty major. I mean, that's pretty bold. That's got a pretty wide berth for a backbone there. That's a pretty outstanding thing. There's three girls there that took their vacation time, literally took off from work, their vacation time that they could go anywhere, do anything, and so on and so forth. They took their time off just to go to be there at the camp, not just to be a counselor, but because they felt like something might happen at camp that was going to be beneficial to them and that they needed to step out of the world, step out of the rat race, step away from all the stuff they were doing and get alone out there and let God deal with them without all the interaction of all the electronic stuff and all that. Now, I realize most of you will be thinking to yourself, that's just a little bit crazy. I mean, take your vacation off to listen to a guy yell at you a couple of times a week, sit around the table and talk to you in between services and all that kind of a stuff. But for them, they said, you know what? That's a priority in our life. This time, this season, this particular time, they're already putting in for next year so that they know, hey, I'm on the calendar. I want this vacation time. Why? It matters to them. Now, I'm not trying to put pressure. I'm just saying if the Lord gave you that opportunity, one of the kids there that says, hey, man, I had this great job, had the great opportunity. They were going to give me this big promotion. Only problem was 3 out of 4 Sundays I had to go to work. I'm not talking about because they were demanded or had to because of shift work and all and rotation schedules. I'm talking about 3 out of 4 Sundays, a managerial position, a really nice raise. The only thing is it's going to cost you Sunday morning services. You might get off in time to make Sunday night a couple of times, but 3 out of 4 Sundays, you're going to have to work because we need you when the store's closed to be in here and so on and so forth. Now, I don't know what you would do. You'd probably say, well, I'll go ahead and get the job, work it for a little while, and then, you know, I'll be able to work it back in. You know what he said? I don't want the promotion that bad. The price is too high.
Yeah.
Now, are you feeling how that feels opposite to how we normally think? Our method of Christianity nowadays is not like the Christianity of old, and it's not the Christian biblical Christianity. Our method of Christianity is we work Jesus in when we have time for Him instead of working our time around Jesus. We have what I call a Christian day timer. And what we do is we go, okay, now we got to schedule Jesus in here somewhere. So I got to give Him maybe 15 in the morning. You know, I mean, that's a good time. But the rest of the time, it's already scheduled out. And the Lord said, well, hey, why don't you give me all this time first? And then if you have something left over, but that's not usually what we do. It's like us, we go sit down at a meal and we say, I'm going to split this meal with my wife and I'm just going to give her everything I don't eat. Well, if I haven't eaten all day long, I can eat quite a bit of food. I mean, I might even get sick eating it and all that kind of a deal, but I can eat a lot of food. So if we're going to split a meal or if we're going to have a meal and she's made a piece of meat and all that kind of stuff, and I say, honey, I'll give you what I have left over, it might be a bite or two. But generally speaking, that's kind of what we do with the Lord. Lord, I'm going to take what I need for me and what I think I need, what I deserve, my idea, my emotions, my feeling. Lord, I want that for me, and I'll give you whatever is left over. I'm not trying to put you under conviction, but I am trying to provoke you to thinking. I am trying to provoke you to consider, to look down there. If the Lord did to us individually what He did to the nation of Israel, and He simply observed and He said, I can tell a lot about where you are, what you are as a nation, by where you put your priorities. I can just tell by looking what matters most to you. I can see clearly if you're getting your way, if you have the opportunity to get what you want, you get the recognition, you get the appreciation, you get to control everybody's life and do all that kind of, I can see, oh man, it seems to be real good for you. But when I ask you to not worry about that and let me the head of anything, let me be the center of everything, I can see real quick, all of a sudden, everything begins to change. Because now we find out where the priorities are. I like to say, first of all, never is a good time for prayer, for giving, for reading the Bible, for witnessing. In Luke chapter number 9, when the Lord comes up, you know what He says? I'd like to follow you, but first. I'd like to follow you, but first. I'd like to follow you, or that's Luke 14, I'd like to follow you, but first. You know what happens when He says to that individual, if you want to be my disciple, not saved, if you want to be my disciple, He said, take up your cross. You say, why? What gets crucified there? Well, the flesh, well, the world. Yeah, no, your desires, your priorities. What do you put first? Him. It's a hard thing to do. It must be practiced or something else will creep in there. I don't have a problem with individuals who tell me, preacher, I was going to be there, but the ox got in the ditch. I'm okay with that as long as you didn't kick the ox in the ditch. But too often, we kick the ox in the ditch and then hide behind that. Listen, this is the Lord judging Israel. This isn't everybody else. Now He's speaking through the prophets and He's simply saying that. Our priorities now are me first and everything else less. And those priorities generally, let me try to hurry. I'm trying to tell you, they're generally insatiable. If I can just get here, then I will. It's never like that. I mean, even when it comes to training, if I can just hit this level, then I'll be good there. Yeah, put on another 2.5 on either side. And yeah, let's just add a little bit more. And well, just a little bit. Well, just a little bit. When it comes to owning possessions, when it comes to different things, it's a drive that's in you. But I find that when it comes to spiritually, our priorities are never Him first. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? It's usually, Lord, hey, I need you right now. I'm in a mess. Well, about these things. Give you whatever you want for now. What do you need? I'll be glad to do it. I'll sacrifice anything because right now I got a problem. The Lord's like, why wasn't I a priority until you needed something? And now you need something, and now all of a sudden I'm the priority. Now all of a sudden, hey, you're in church every time. You're in church now because your priority has changed. I need something from God. And God's like, why wasn't I always the priority? Oh, I get it. I become your priority when you're trying to milk me for something, when you're trying to use me for something, when I become your spiritual bellhop. I get it. Now all of a sudden I'm going to come. The Lord's like, wouldn't it just be better if I just stayed the priority all the time? Wouldn't your Christian life just be better if he was the priority all the time? Hey, have you ever thought about this? If he is the priority in your life, there goes ease of decisions right off the bat. I got an opportunity to do something. The Holy Spirit says, well, now hold on a second. It's like, okay, yes, sir. Why? He goes, if that going to keep me first, or is that going to mess up my relationship? Amen. Well, Lord, that's an easy one. Good. Then put me first and we'll take care of the rest. But it's hard, isn't it? In that Bible, every time you see an individual trying to go through self-promotion, every time it's demonic in its inception. You know what it is? It's the priority is to make me get me. And the Lord's like, really? You want to get recognized? Why don't you just be the lad with the lunch? No name. Why don't you just be the woman with the issue of blood? No name. Why don't you just do what you can do like Mary did? No reference to anything else. No sermon she preached. Why is that? Because the priority is, I want to be recognized. You ever look at the word flesh if you spell it backwards? Drop the H off of that thing right there. You know what it'll spell out? You know what it is? It's about me. Me. How's it going to make me look? What's this going to do for me? What are they going to think about me? Where's your priority? What are they going to think about him? I gave you a couple of questions you might want to consider asking yourself. Take your Bible and come to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. Here's some things you can get it on the tape or whatever if you'd like to. I know we're trying to kind of speed through this. Here's a question for you. Which book do you spend more time with, God's books or man's books? He gives you a thing that says you give attendance to reading. He gives you a thing that says study to show yourself approved unto God, a work needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. I'm just saying, where's your priority? I'm for education. I'm going to say something and it's going to sound crass. It's going to sound rude. I'm worn out with Bible believers who, because they're lazy, try to make it spiritual not to educate themselves. I believe that is demonic. I don't believe everybody has to have a PhD, but I do think you ought to have walking around sense. And I think the Lord gave you a book for a reason. And this hiding always behind your spiritual laziness of, well, I just don't read, you know, and I just don't like to read, and I just don't. I believe it's us as a sin, as somebody going out and doing something otherwise. You know why? Because you're showing other people, well, I believe you can have a relationship with God. You ain't got to read. But he gave you a book to read. Amen. I don't like to read. The Lord said to read. Now, you know what? Either his orders are priority or they're not. Watch this. Give attendance to what?
Reading.
You spend time reading God's book or somebody else's book? Where's your priorities? You voted, or to put something together, you study your bank statement, and now you're going to all of a sudden, and I've heard preachers do it for years and years and years, you know about education, all that education and stuff like that. You can't succeed without some education. Balance it out and get the right kind of stuff. Get the book learning you need to get and meld it with the book, and you'll have a dangerous combination. But stop hiding your laziness, spiritual laziness, behind people and make fun of anybody that wants to study and learn some things about the Bible. That don't make you spiritual at all. That makes you a spiritual dunce. Spiritual idiot, because you won't take the time to read. Do what God said. He said spend some time in the book. Number two, you spend more time eating physical food or spiritual food? Well, now hold on just a minute, preacher. No, you hold on a minute. If you divide that up into three meals a day and a couple times for a snack, let's just say you take 30 minutes for each time. Some of you eat faster, some slower. On average, 30 minutes a meal. So I'm not asking you for too much. Three meals, that's an hour and a half. You spend more time stuffing your face than you do stuffing the Holy Spirit? I'm just saying, where are your priorities? Well, it's to keep me alive, to keep me healthy, to keep me full. I want what I want. You go to the snacks, to the cabinet to get snacks when you're watching the tube or whatever it is you're doing. You ever go to the Bible and get a spiritual snack? Every time you get ready to go to the cabinet, you want to help you with your weight? Get ready to go to the cabinet before you get there? Open your Bible. Say, the only way into the cabinet is I got to read a chapter in the Bible. You'll be surprised. You know what you'll do? You'll quit eating snacks because you'll quit reading your Bible. Say, wow, I'm losing weight. Where are you at? I'm on the preacher's diet. What is it? I got to read the Bible a whole chapter before I eat. Wow, yeah. Well, you know what's happened? Well, you're reading a whole lot of the Bible, aren't you? No, I quit reading the Bible, so I had to quit eating. Do you spend any time with spiritual stuff? on average, 6 hours is about the average. For Christians, it's probably half that time. You watch 3 hours of television a day or whatever, or 3 hours of your internet or social stuff or whatever. You spend 3 hours in the book. Which one is going to play out for you at the judgment seat?
Amen. Amen.
I'm just saying, I'm saying if we're observing priorities, some of you, it is more important to respond to your emails or respond to a post or to picture yourself doing something stupid. I'm glad when I was coming up, there wasn't that stuff around.
Amen.
Say why? I wouldn't want there to be pictures of me doing that stuff.
Amen.
The Lord's taking pictures. Anyway, I got to stop that. Listen to me. You're more interested in responding to that than responding to Him?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that. I'm just saying, if we look at the priorities, if we consider what's going on, just a few of the things I wrote down. I'm coming to Galatians 6 in just a second. Do you believe more in the words of men than you believe in the words of God? The words of men are perverted. They're corrupted. You follow more what a soothsayer says or a horoscope fooler around her with her or somebody on these prophecy websites telling you about Shemitahs and blood moons and all that other kind of stuff. I'm talking about guys in pulpits that are using a pulpit to tell you about stuff they don't know nothing about. Or do you spend more time in the Word of God? Their words are pure words, purified in the furnace of earth, tried 7 times. They're pure, they'll be around, they endure forever. Which of the two? What's your sources? Well, you know, so-and-so said and so-and-so said. You pick people according to your natural likes. You will ignore truth because you don't like the vessel it comes from. Doesn't matter how true what they're saying is, you don't like it because they're dressed funny or they look funny or they act funny. And some of you right now, you've cut me off because it's like, well, I just don't see a problem with all that stuff. Listen, can I just say this? You are unintellectual. You have not informed yourself. You are literally mentally deficient. You've only been provided one side of an argument. You haven't studied and you don't know what you're talking about. If you listen to me, I'm really trying to rein it in. I didn't much in Sunday school, but I'm trying to be real careful. I want you to listen to me. That stuff is the habitation of devils. It is forbidden in the Bible. Did you hear me? But they're so nice and they're so... Listen, that demon comes up there and recognizes Jesus and says he's Jesus of Nazareth. He knows where he's born. You say, why? He was alive back then. They don't spout untruth. The woman with a spirit of divination in Acts 16, she's over there. She's speaking truth. She's got a devil. Now, I'm just telling you, and you can do with it what you want, but I have to bring it up on a regular basis now because some of you open that stuff up. You start looking and charting your life and charting this and charting that and so on and so forth. You just throw your free will right out the window. The Lord gives you a choice. Your destination can be different if you choose to change direction. You can't chart that stuff. You say, what is that? That's a habitation of devils. Believe me or not. You see, I just don't believe that. Okay. Well, I'll take time to sit down and show it to you if you'd like to see it and give you facts.
Amen.
Time and time and time again. Lord knows how many times. Bring somebody in there. I just don't believe they would do something like that. There's just no way they would do that. Policeman, preacher, lawyer, judge, whatever. I just don't believe. There's just no way. There's no way. There's a conspiracy. Something is going on. You don't know the facts. What? Well, I never knew that. You don't know the facts. I don't want to spend too long there, but I want to tell you this. That's the habitation of devils, and I'm suggesting to you, if you want to keep messing around, that stuff will have an impact on you.
Amen.
This book is a spiritual book. You mess around with it, it'll make you spiritual.
Amen.
You put it down, something else will take its place. A couple more things here. You speak more on men's matters. You're more of an expert on men's matters than God's matters. You know more about the news than you do about the Bible. More about current events. More about the weather. I know you got to have a little bit of that. I understand that. I didn't say everything. I just said, which do you speak the most about? We're talking about priorities. Are you more interested in getting up and seeing the headline of the newspaper or reading the obituary column? Look, if you can get up and read the obituary column, the most important thing you know out of the obituary column is you ain't in it.
Yeah.
I'm looking to see if anybody died. But you're still alive, so that probably shouldn't be a priority in your list. If you're checking the obituary to see if you're there, you're in some serious trouble. But I got to get up and read the newspaper. I got to get up and turn on the news. I got to get up and do this and all that. And the Lord's like, okay, so you're more interested in seeing what happened while you were sleeping than what I'm doing in eternity. Are you with me? We're talking about priorities. We're just saying, hey, look, I'm saying now is the time. And we're saying, no, Lord, now's not a good time. I'm saying that the Lord is saying to us out of the book of Haggai, hey, listen, guys, you need to have the same come to Jesus meeting that the nation of Israel needed and realize, where are my priorities? It is in popularity of other people. Is it have to do with going to get prosperity? Does it have to do with something along the lines of what will make me look good? What is the priority? Lord said, let's just check and see. The evidence is there. All we have to do is check and see. And you sacrifice more for earthly things or eternal things? The baby's crying, he's not laughing. I don't blame you, sweetheart. Here's a tough one for you. Do you love your fellow man more than you love God? Now wait before you answer. Let's look at the evidence. Are you willing to preserve your reputation with other people more than you are what God thinks about you? You know what that says? I love them and me more than I love Him. The Lord said, I made myself of no what?
Reputation.
So what He's going to do is what's pleasing to Him no matter who at hair lips. I'm just saying the evidence. That's old school. That's what I did for so long. We just look at the evidence. We don't just go by subjection. We don't go by what everybody said, what's called hearsay stuff. Somebody else's perspective, somebody else's opinion, somebody else who's third time. They don't even admit that in court. Of course, it's okay on your Facebook account. It's okay on your Instagram and your Pinterest. And it's okay for you to be attached and all of those followers. For those who weren't in Sunday school, we're going to jump off in it right now again and get you good and hostile. It's okay for your name to be listed with all those unsaved people in there and all those other people. And you're somebody in the church. You're a person in the youth group. You're somebody standing in the pulpit. You play an instrument. You teach a Sunday school class. It's okay for your name to be attached to all those things while all these people are looking at, oh, well, they like it. It's okay for me to like it. Thumbs up, man. What's the big deal? I'm one of the crowd. They like me. I'm special. Look how many followers I have. Jesus said, be ye followers of me, and I'll make you fishers of men. It's kind of like, I must be Jesus. I got a lot of people following me. By the way, somebody told me the other day Jesus was out there at the town center. I had a guy that looked like Jesus out there smoking a cigarette, and I said, in all honesty, that's people's idea of Jesus nowadays, that He would just want to fit in with everybody. Do you ever pause for a minute? Hey, Jesus, I know I'm in the thread of a bunch of lost people, backslidden, don't go to church, don't believe like I believe or whatever, but hey, Jesus, I mean, you know, it's church one time, but I ain't got time for that right now. Or give them a, what do they call a wink? What's the yellow thing? I know what it is. I'm not setting you up. A emoji thing. You talk about the dumbing down of America. They're putting out a movie, spent millions of dollars to put out a movie of images. It's got all these little yellow things running around with all these shapes. I guess they ain't got no words in it. Just they just show you shapes. But that's what they're setting you up for. They don't want you in words. You say, why? The Lord said words, the devil says images. The Lord says words, the devil says pictures. The Lord says words. Listen, anything you mix and mingle, I'm going to get in chapter 2 in a couple hours here, but you need to realize this. Anything is pure until something corrupt comes along, and whatever is unclean touches that which is clean, it corrupts it every time. Example, you want an example? Take spiritual music, put secular beat to it, and you have satanic music. Take a holy, pure, perfect Word of God and just mix in a little bit of the stuff that they're doing in modern theology, and you have a satanic Bible. Take a good girl who is otherwise clean and may not mess up her physical attributes, but mess up her mind and change how she is and allow her to look and see things older ones are doing, and you have now taken something pure and clean and made it dirty. Well, I just think they need to be exposed. Oh, well, what's the big deal? Well, why don't you grow up and set an example? I wish it'd be your kids that would mess them up. Let your kids get messed up. It's always somebody else's kids get messed up.
Amen.
And yes, I just came off of youth camp. Yes, I'm going to one. But the biggest problem we have is we try to help the kids, and then the parents come and undermine the whole thing. The preacher's a little weird on all that stuff. I mean, I just think you can kind of be involved in that and all that. Yeah, and then you know what happens. Your kids are just a little involved, just smoking a little cigarette, just smoking a little bit of dope, just drinking a little bit, just doing a little bit, just having a little fornication, just a little stuff. And what you do in moderation, them kids do in excess. Get up and roll your eyes at me, I'll roll my eyes at you. Get up there and kind of, well, now ease up there, preacher. You need to back off. You wonder why there's wickedness out there? It's because of carnal Christians that are living in the church today because their priorities are pleasing your flesh and being popular among people.
Amen.
Preacher don't want to tell you. Say, why? You offend half the church members in your church if you dare have the audacity to bring up social media.
Come on.
Because it's like, well, now, just now, hold on. You need to chill out. No, you need to get a cotton-picking life.
Amen.
Your priorities are out of line.
On,
you think that you are in charge of your life, and because you're popular to lost and unsaved people, that you're popular with Jesus. It ain't so.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I can see it now. I can tell you what we're having for dinner today. Roast preacher. I had plenty of sleep, and I only had 2 cups of coffee before I left the house, and another one when I got here, and I could use one right now. What I'm trying to help you with is all that stuff's geared by, you know what it is? It's the Lord trying to say, your priorities are wrong. Do you think it matters to me what an unsaved person thinks about me? I'm popular among unsaved people. I want them to know, good morning, this is me getting my coffee. Hi, this is me removing that coffee from my system. A mosey. This is me now having breakfast. This is me removing breakfast. This is me at the donut shop. This is me, this is me, this is images. Self-ease. Pictures of me. My world. Oh, and by the way, our preacher's back from youth camp and he's going to be preaching, and usually he gets kind of fired up. You want to be here for that. Really? You go to church? Yeah. Oh, you must go to church like we go to church. You know, where that spiritual singing, spiritual songs mixed with a secular kind of a beat. That must be, oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, not, oh, my, oh, no. Our preacher would have a coronary. He would look like Stinking the Incredible Hulk on steroids. Oh, no. No, we're conservative. We sing out of a hymn book. And we believe the King James Bible is the pure Word of God.
Amen.
When we're in church.
Amen.
But don't ask me to apply it. Preacher, I'd never do that. No, you just click on it.
Amen. Amen.
Go for it, baby. You got it. I'm with you. I like you. You like me. We did that back in the sixth grade where you have a little circle yes or no thing. So that must mean all them button stuff that's going on right now, they must figure you're about sixth grade. To get you to respond to an adult person in there. Yeah, baby, that's real lemon. Then turn right around and let's see if that sweet water runs out of the fountain. Let's say, hey, let me tell you what Jesus Christ did for me. Let me tell you, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Let me tell you, I don't want that old world. I don't want the temptation. I don't want the drag of the old world. I don't want the places of the old world and the people of the old world. Hey, I came among that. I came out of that stuff. I'm not in that anymore. I don't want to be in it. I got a new life in Christ. I'm a different person. I've been born again. Don't bother me.
Yes. Amen.
You have been blocked. What'd you block me for? I don't need to get dirty. Well, you didn't participate. You ain't got to go there to participate. Do you, boys? You can go there in your mind, can't you, girls? It only takes a trip as far as a click will take you to send you to far out lands. The Lord said, come out, touch not, touch not, touch not the unclean thing.
Amen.
Now, preacher, you can't be definitive. No, you can't be definitive. It will do you some good to get around some of these old policemen that have been around here and seeing the end result of the tragedies that they have dealt with because of just a little and just a little and just a little. And the next thing you know, just like a crocodile will surface and grab the antelope and drag him into the mud hole. Just like that, they're dead and dealing with it.
Amen.
Must not be nothing wrong. My Sunday school teacher thought it was cool. She said she remembered back in the day. Really? That's what you want your kids to know about? You want your kids to know about all your stuff you did back in the day? Well, unless you lived a life like Jesus, you're a fool. Hey, honey. Let me show you. Hey, Mom. I was a slut when I was coming up. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what you'd have been labeled when I was coming up, just by how you talk.
Amen.
Now it's different. That's commonplace. See, just because it slipped, it doesn't change the definition. You get your head up. I'm not done. You're like, oh, my good night, preacher. No, no. You know what we call girls like that, but that I can say publicly? We called you a pig. Just because you talked about it, we figured you were. If you ran with pigs, we figured you was one of them. Well, I happen to be a pig. Don't tell nobody, you're a sheep now. Take some of these innocent little girls. I take it personal. I feel like you brought them here and I'm entrusted with their soul and I'm supposed to do all I can to try to help you keep them clean and to help you keep them right. And I will be jumped if I am going to stand by and compromise that and allow these innocents to be devoured by a bunch of Christians and say, no big deal. No big deal to you, big deal to me. You ought to get behind it and say, yeah, preacher, protect them. We can't do it on our own. I'll take it personal.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We do not have to be a statistic around here. These boys do not have to go out like a bunch of dogs and do stuff they don't. But we have a responsibility to protect their mind, protect their eyes, protect their ears, protect their mouth.
Yes. That's good, preacher.
Yes, there's tragedies, and yes, there are people that mess up, absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
But we ought to do all we can to hold it as long as we can hold it.
Amen.
Amen.
And until we are completely dead and have breathed our last breath,
amen.
Purity
amen.
Should be protected.
Amen.
But we just don't make it a priority.
Amen.
The world has set the temperature and the doctrine of the church. The world and worldly Christians have said, we will not tolerate anything that talks about separation, holiness, cleanliness. That's not our priority. Just deal with the tragedies after they happen. Why not stop them before they happen?
Amen.
What's the point of youth camp? You think we're running a drug rehab center? You think we're running a detox center? You think we're just trying to get them away from you so you can have a vacation? We're trying to put something in them to maybe just one or two say, hey, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to be that. I don't want a train wreck for a life. You teach a class, whether it be in a pulpit or whether it be in a Sunday school room or whether it be in your living room, the second that you make a choice to join in with that whole group in the world, you just undermine everything you taught.
Amen.
What you said is, do what I say, just don't do what I do. You want power in preaching or in the pulpit, the preaching you do is long before you ever get there. Long before you get there.
Amen.
Jesus preached what he practiced.
Amen.
Our problem nowadays is it's no longer a priority. I promise I'm coming to Galatians. But I got to settle. Because I'm seeing us losing the battle.
Amen.
And I heard and saw a lot of this. Been preparing now for several weeks, dare I say months, because I take this stuff serious about camp, and I've been working, and I've been looking, and I've been looking at trends and looking at statistics and studying evidence and trying to figure out, well, how can we do something different? How can I get in there? Where are we dropping the ball? You know what I find out? We're not having any impact on the world at all. So I'm like, okay, that's a reality. I got it. I see that now. I understand we're losing that battle. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to narrow my focus. I'm going to look at the church in the world's eyes. Well, the church in the world's eyes is literally just like the world. Do you know why? Because in the world's eyes, what they do is they come to church to have sort of an emotional sort of a deal and have a little bit of fun for a little while. And it's sort of a social club kind of thing. There's no Bible. There's no distinct teaching. And you know what I find out? I find out that the teachers and the preachers in those places are involved in so many secular activities that there's no power in the pulpit. And the kids are like, well, we're just coming here because we're looking for something to do on Sunday. There's nothing about separation. There's nothing about isolation. Nothing about alienation. It's all about how can we incorporate and make you feel good where you are. The priority for being spiritual doesn't exist anymore unless it has to do with demons. How can I be spiritual, claim to be spiritual, if I'm trying to tell you without giving you a lot of personal stories, I'm trying to tell you the damage that thing has done. And if it had been liquor that caused your kid to wrap around a pole, you would want me to preach on it. If it had been a gun, you'd want me to preach on gun violence. If it had been a knife, you'd want me to take a knife away from everybody. But when it comes to something you are doing, you are not willing to make it a priority. I'm positive when I'm done today, we'll get a whole bunch of thumbs down, or I'm never listening to you again on the internet. I'm positive that some people from this church will simply say this, preacher, I hear what you're saying, but I ain't a priority to me. You ain't going to tell me how to live. I just said, is it a priority? Whether you like Einstein or not, whether you believe he's in hell or not, he's a smart man. He is the one that said, for every action, there is an equal and an opposite reaction. You want your kids to get help from the preacher, get kids help from God, and then you go back to your own worldly wicked ways and mess around with all your worldly wicked stuff, and you're trying to tell your kid to be spiritual, but you don't apply the principles yourself.
Amen.
It don't work. You never know whether you got a friend in somebody until you do something they don't like anyway, and they still love you because you're your friend. You think you have friends? You don't have friends. You have a bunch of people that'll use you and they'll ditch you like a bad habit when it's over. I can remember the days when a guy and a girl sit too close in a church service, the preacher would call them down. God help you now, mom and daddy come after you with a baseball bat. You live in a day and time where fornication has become an accepted norm. You feeling vomitous yet? Moms and dads just accept it, and they provide them with all kind of manner of is a word that's there. It's like control, Brother Ron, but it's more like approval. That's the word I'm looking for. If I tell you, don't mess around, but if you do, you know what I just said? Go ahead, just don't get caught. If I tell you, single man, well now bro, you know it's hard to be single nowadays and it's going to be hard for you. Now what you don't want to do is mess up with the wrong one. And so if you're going to, just don't get. Say you're full of prunes. It's being taught in church. Some of our kids have had the rose of purity plucked off their cheek. Because of parents who say, no big stinking deal. Everybody does it. Everybody don't do it!
Amen. 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 Amen.
Well, I did it, you know, and I came out all right. Oh, well, easy there, big fella. The Lord might be like, excuse me, what did you just say? I mean, I've been being gracious with you. I'm fixing to slap you so hard it's going to kill your whole family, boy. You are mocking me now. You're mocking my grace now. You're mocking my long-suffering now. You better shut your mouth or I'll shut it for you.
Amen.
Don't you throw that stuff at me. I am not wearing your bit and bridle when it comes to that stuff. I'm telling you right now, it has become an accepted norm. Why? It is no longer a priority.
Amen.
To keep kids pure.
Amen.
Let's just deal with the fallout. Let's just don't have the fallout.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. But somebody will think my kids are weird.
Who cares?
Oh, well.
Who cares?
Better than them getting some virus.
Amen.
Better than them getting so messed up they'll never have kids.
Right.
Better than them at 14 years of age having venereal warts so bad they have to have everything removed and can never have any children and messing up their mind from now on because mom and dad said, well, you know, I mean, you know, you're 14, you're old enough to make a decision. You're an idiot and it costs that girl.
Amen.
You don't know what it's like to stand outside the curtain and listen to a scream and cry and holler because they can't anesthetize certain things because of certain difficulties and watch the tragedy of a decision made by a mom and daddy.
Amen.
Why? It's no longer a priority. You know, girls, can I just tell you this real quick? God is a holy God. If you were to wear a bathing suit in front of the Lord, He'd blush. He'd say, you shouldn't be dressing like that in front of me. In human form, if Jesus was here who made you and created you, if you were to let Him through your eyes see, He'd say, I don't want to see that. I don't like to look at that. That makes me blush. I that's not pure. That's not righteous. That's not clean. Don't do that. And not only that, you don't know the damage you're doing. You don't know what you're causing. Look back to Calvary. That's what that caused. That's the epitome of that. That's the pinnacle of that. Hey, don't. It's dirty.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
The Lord's holy. He wouldn't say the words that have become so complex, whether in a text or an email. Nowadays you just post stuff from somebody else and there's all kind of filth and trash and dirty words and liquor bottles and all kind of stuff. It's kind of like, well, it was funny. How do you know that stuff, preacher? I actually deal with some kids. I actually deal with some other churches. I actually deal with some broken hearts because we've forgotten our God is a holy God. But that's not a priority anymore. It's like, Lord, I know I'm going to sin. Give me some fig leaves. Because everybody else does. I'm not holding you solely accountable. You've been taught by some Christians a compromised faith. It's right to cover up when you dress. I don't care what anybody tells you. And yes, you're a girl. What about the guys? They don't really have anything anybody's interested in looking at. So yeah, it's not fair. But still true. Well, preacher, my mom's the epitome of fashion. And she struts out. Okay. Now, y'all listen to the preacher, except when he's preaching about that stuff. That's a little old-timey. Preacher says when you're going to sing up there, to make sure you wear something below your knees. You say, why? Because there's men sitting on the front row. It's not an advertisement.
Amen.
You're not supposed to be drawing attention to yourself.
Amen. Yeah, preacher, you got a body like mine, you know.
You kind of want to be. Go wear your spandex somewhere else.
Amen.
Hey, while I'm on it, let me just kick one real good. Leave your stinking yoga pants at the barn. Woo! Yeah, you own it now, preacher. It's like, oh, why did you... I mean, like wear them under, but wear a tent over, okay? Like as in burlap sack. I know what you do. You wear that stuff when you get old because it makes the mudslide look like it hadn't set up yet. In my day, they called that a girdle. I got you both on that one. What are we talking about? Priorities.
Amen.
Amen.
God's house should be a holy place. It ought to be a clean place. I've been in a few hospitals in my life, both as a policeman and as a preacher. You know what I know about them? I know that no matter how filthy the people might be when they come in the emergency room, they keep it disinfected and clean. They keep it so stinking cold in there. Do you ever wonder why? Even in the wintertime, do you know why they do that? It kills the bacteria and the germs. If nothing else, it slows them way down. You know what they do? No matter how dirty you are, you're coming into a clean place because they know the number one problem once you're in there that can get you even after they fixed you is an infection. How about that? Pretty smart fellow. You know what the church is? It's not get clean before you come in here. But folks, will you please listen to me for a second? It should be a clean place once they get in here.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It shouldn't be dirtied up by your foolishness.
Amen.
By your gossip and by your sending carnal, trashy foolishness. Broadcasting everything you're doing. Like I'm something else. Hey, I'm just saying, maybe it's time to rein it in a little before somebody really gets hurt. Could I give you a couple more? Do you have time? And I'll try to reel it in. What is it? It's about 12:10. Oh, Lord, okay. Just give me a couple more, okay? Are you more worried about offending your friends and your family than you are God or even strangers? You have more plans for temporal things than eternal things. I said Galatians 6, let me give you this. I know I need to close. Look in verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You know, we have actual debt to each other to do good unto the people that come here. When I say come here, though, I don't mean just come here in the sense of a building. I mean come here in the sense of a lifestyle. Amen. Come here in the sense of they want to follow us as we follow Jesus Christ. You know what he says? We're supposed to do good to them. How can I do good? Don't cause them to do bad.
Amen.
How's that? That's pretty simple, right? Did I pull them into something I shouldn't pull them into? Did I ask them to participate in something, even if it was only by their eyes? Did I take their reputation? Did I take their name? Did I take who they were known for and what they're known for? Did I take that and then put it out there? And by doing that, I basically said, hey, they agree with me about this. I didn't ask them to do that. I didn't ask them if I could do that. I just went ahead and put it out there as if they signed off on it. How do I prevent that? Personally, me? I don't want to be in any of these lists. For me, what can happen is they shot it to me and then shot it to somebody else, so it looks like I thumbs upped it. So preacher's okay with whatever you sent. If there's a person that's my friend, you know what they're going to do? Hey, preacher, I don't know how they got your email address, but this don't look like the preacher I know. What are you talking about? Well, this is this and this and this. Oh, huh. I don't know how I got in that thread thing. But who do I call to get out?
Amen.
You say, why? I'm supposed to do good.
Amen.
You know what it does? It gives you an uncertain sound. I go off like a Scud missile like I did a while ago. I've been real calm lately. I haven't really been too bad. And I go off a little bit. And then you read that, and with one thing like that, you dismiss everything I just said and say, well, he's just talking.
Sure.
He's just talking. Because if you don't walk to back up the talk, it don't mean squat.
Right.
You know you actually have people in here that love this place? They actually love these kids? You actually have people that drive for hours and hours and hours and have for years, and they have time and sweat and all that, and they don't appreciate you wiping your dirty feet all over it. And now because of all this stuff, there's a way in. And what starts happening is little things that begin off as little tiny jokes and no big deal and stuff like that, they're just a little shady. But can I tell you this, from where I've been here this past 6 months, where I've been, the places I've been, it is far and beyond shady. It is downright pornographic. And church members are sending that to each other like, ha, 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 and telling jokes that you shouldn't be telling in the privacy of your own house.
Right.
Amen. Preacher, don't you think that's funny? You know what? I might think it's funny. You know what I know about me? It'd be better for me not to hear it.
Right.
Suppose you came to my house, there's a liquor bottle in my house, and of course, I don't believe in drinking, right? There's a liquor bottle in my house. What are you going to modestly think? Somebody been drinking, right? I mean, he says he ain't, but I'm just saying the evidence says somebody been drinking. I could tell you, yeah, somebody threw it in my yard and I just hadn't made it to the garbage can yet. And you're going to be like, yeah, heard that one before. Don't get nervous. I don't believe in foul language. What's that coming across your TV? I don't believe in looking at that stuff. Really? Pull your search history. Well, preacher, everybody does that now. You know, you can't even turn on the computer anymore without stuff popping up shouldn't be. Well, then you got to be asking yourself what sites you're going to begin with that are attached to that. I've never had any of that stuff. I do online banking. I'm very technically savvy. I sign on with my passcode. And then I wink my eye, stick out my tongue, put in my password. Ding, there I am. I have never gotten an illicit solicitation on either banking website. Not one. Not a single one. Why do you know that? Because I just had that pulled on me. Well, now, preacher, you know you can't even turn on a computer anymore without that stuff popping up. I'm like, really? I think it's kind of connected to, because advertisers are smart.
Sure.
They know who's looking.
Right.
They figure if you're going to a banking website, they don't want you putting something up there you might be wanting to spend your money on. Unless they're going to get interest out of it. So they're not going to put up prostitutes and stuff like that. You have to ask yourself this question instead of blaming the computer. Why would your computer see to it that it was good for you to receive those things?
Right.
You know what you just said without even knowing you said it? You've been looking in the wrong places.
Amen.
And somebody said, I got your cookie.
Yep.
And I'm going to send you now because I know what you're interested in. And then you come to church and, oh, how I love Jesus. And Jesus said, yeah, your priorities are more about taking care of yourself than here. And that's why you come to church and these kids, all five of them, get up here and sing. And you almost look at them like, we'll see where they are in a couple of years. They'll probably be just like the rest of us. Not if you'd gather around them.
Amen.
Not if you'd help them have the right priorities. Not if they can't pull your name out of a list of things and look at it and say, wow, that's okay? Well, when you grow up, you know. I could take another 30 minutes to grind it like a stinking grist mill, but I hope you're mature enough to understand the context.
Amen.
And I already know that you're going to go out and you're going to not make it a priority. And if that's what you want to do, that's fine. Just remember, when you don't make it a priority, those around you don't either.
Amen.
You make it harder for them. Amen. Folks, if I only get this last shot at you, can I say this to you? If somebody is trying, please don't get in their way.
Amen.
This kid, I can't tell you his name, he got saved at camp last year. The old street kid. He's sort of a big old fella. Jolly as you'd think is like Santa Claus. I mean, just, and he has no guile whatsoever. He just, you know, hey, you're Peacock? Brother Peacock? Pastor, what do I call you? I said, you can call him preacher or Brother Peacock or whatever. Hey, Brother Peacock, how you doing? My name's so-and-so. I said, hey, man, how you doing? He's standing up there shaking and all that stuff. I said, well, it's good to have you. I said, what are you getting? He goes, well, just wanted you to know, got saved. I said, you did? I said, you ever been saved? No, I've never been saved before. This is unreal. This is unbelievable. This is the best thing that ever happened to me. I mean, man. And then he started laying out where he came from, and I'm thinking, it is a miracle you were at a church camp. Everything was against him. If it hadn't been for a preacher kind of encouraging him and picking up the bill, that boy wouldn't have been there. Well, he got saved. Let me give you the short story. He went back home. And those people who didn't want him to go in the first place, he said, his own testimony. they started, you got to relax, you know, and they weren't telling him to do it. They just started making fun of everybody who did. And he quit reading his Bible and he quit praying, and then they started having him get back to gaming, and then the next thing you know, he's back in other places, and then the next thing you know, he's logged back in. Here's what he said. I wish I'd listened to you last year. I said, yeah, what part of it? He said, that part about the social stuff, social media stuff. He said, is the absolute avenue. He didn't say avenue. He said, that's the way I got back in it, preacher. I said, what do you mean? He said, I got back on all that stuff and checking in with everybody and them sending me links to this and that and the other. And he said, I started doing things and looking at things and being places I had no business being. And next thing you know, I was kind of, he said, you know what? Nobody would have ever even known I was saved about 3 weeks after I came home from camp. And by now, big old tears have welled up in his eyes. And he said, my mama, when she was around, she left now, told me I was a fool, that it was just religion. My daddy said, you can do it if you want to do it, but don't do it around me. Church, Bible, all that stuff. He said it was real easy just to go back. And he said, I went back. I said, well, you're here now. What about that? And he goes, yep, I am. He said, preacher, Tuesday night you preached a message about the doctrine of the broken box. And I said, yeah. He said, you know Mary broke the box? Now that little old lip's quivering like he's a little baby standing there in front of all these kids and stuff for standing around. He's just up there talking to me. I'm blowing just a little bit between the services there, and he's wanting to talk to me, so I'm listening to him. That little old lip starts quivering. He's a big old fella, and he starts quivering. He said, preacher, I broke my box Tuesday night. And when I get home, I'm getting rid of all that stuff. And he said, I'm not even telling them I'm leaving. I'm just leaving. He said, I'm done. He said, I know what got me in it. I know. You can handle it. I know. Your priorities are not. If Jesus were to ask you this morning, it wouldn't be a priority to please him. You'd be saying, yeah, oh, well, I got to sign out. I got to tell him why. I'm going to put a good testimony and all that kind of stuff. Pretty good testimony. I ain't here no more. Last time I checked, when you put somebody in jail, did you let them go check out with everybody? Call their boss, all that? Really? That don't even seem fair, man. Give them a computer, let them at least log out. Y'all are harsh, man. But when it comes to coming spiritually unplugged and plugging into the right thing, you know what we do? We got to always say goodbye. Here's the problem. When you turn around and look like Lot's wife, you generally stop wherever you turned around. So I'll give you this and I'm done. Preacher, will you please pray for me? I said, sure I will. He said, I'm hoping and I'm praying that God will call me to preach. Can you pray that he do that? He goes, nothing would make me happy. He's 13. Oh, well, now, preacher, you're not. He's got more character than some of y'all.
Amen.
And if you knew about that kid, what he had been involved in the 13 years, you'd be like, oh, man, that ain't no kid. That's a full-grown adult. You know what he said? Done. You know what it'll cost him? Everything. Everybody in his family, everybody in his life, and everybody he is surrounded with is not people you would even want to be in the same room with. That kid has to go home and demonstrate exceptional courage. Amen. To say, my priority is Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm going to do what pleases him. I called him over there. I got ready to leave. I had a piece of watermelon. I was getting ready to go down to get my stuff packed up and all that kind of stuff. And he came by when I was out there and he said, now pray for me. I said, I got you. So what will happen? Oh, he may not make it back to youth camp next week, next year. But he might make it.
Amen.
What are you going to do? I'm going to help him.
Amen.
I said, tell your pastor, if there's anything I can do to help you, help him. I know his pastor well. I said, you let me know. I'll be personally invested in your life. You start getting trouble, having problems, having difficulties, let me know. I'll get somebody to help you get you away from that stuff. Because he demonstrated the courage of a man at 13 years of age. And you know what he said? Jesus is my priority. You know what Haggai said? Your priority's out of place. You have time to do what you want to do. What are you trying to get me to do today, preacher? Make time for Jesus. Make it your priority. Make it your priority. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Not going to give an invitation. You can come if you want to, but I'm just going to let you go to lunch. Just think a little bit. Pray a little bit. Thank you for your kindness of staying for a couple extra minutes. But could you consider your ways, as he says there in Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 7, could you consider, Lord, you know what, maybe there are some things here that I need to get in control, and you know, no matter whether everybody else does it or not, it ain't right for me, and I got to stop this, Lord, before somebody gets hurt bad. Thanks for pointing it out, Lord. I sure appreciate it.